So as we've indicated, we're starting a series today going through December, and we're going to be thinking about Christmas and Advent and journeys. We're going to start today with the journey of angels. I'll mention quite a bit about angels today. We'll come on to that in a second. We're going to think about the journey of the shepherds from the hillside down to the Jesus, journey of the wise men from afar off Iran, probably, to see Mary, Joseph, and the Jesus, and then the journey of Jesus from heaven to earth. Different dimensions to these journeys. Some of them are short journeys down hillsides, some are from one country to another, and some are from heaven to earth. So we're going to be thinking about these different journeys over the course of this month and focusing again on the birth of Jesus and Advent and all that this means to us. The final Sunday of the year, as we've done in recent years, will be no sermon. It will be a chance for us to come together as a church family to share with one another, maybe a prayer, a word, encouragement, something that God has laid on our hearts just to give thanks for this past year and what God has done in our lives. So that's what we're doing over the next month. I was reading this week in a magazine, angels are quite in. In fact, this time of year, and normally, angels are actually becoming more popular than God himself. According to a survey of a number of people in our country, people are more likely today and are more open to believe in angels than they are to believe in God. Now, when we say angels, that could mean a multitude of different things to those people. We're not necessarily saying that people will believe what the Bible says about angels. Those angels could be just spirits, they could be other gods, they could be aliens, they could be all kinds of things to those people. It could be guardian angels, it could be relatives who've passed away and are dead, and are now angels. People have all kinds of views as to what angels are. But many people do believe that there's something there that they would regard as angels. A lot of people, of course, like to believe that we all have a guardian angel. And today we've just dedicated a little boy. And many people believe that children especially all have a guardian angel. But what are some of these views? Well, here's one. I saw this on a bus this week. In case you don't recognize who these three young ladies are, they are the latest version of Charlie's Angels. And I don't know how many versions of this has been made. I think it's at least the third movie, and there's been a TV series as well. And so people are thinking about angels for no other reason. They're going to see Charlie's Angels at the cinema. Of course, for many people, though, angels are children, and many of the Christmas cards we receive will have pictures of angels, and they'll look something like these little children. Of course, for others, it's not so much children, but children have, as I've said, a guardian angel. And many believe that children have someone special, spiritual being, whatever, looking over them and guarding them. For others, though, angels are women, and particularly beautiful women. And many times they will depict a woman and in an angelic way. But all of these pictures, and I could have put up a whole lot more, are really nothing like at all what the Bible says when it talks about angels. When the Bible talks about angels, they're actually quite scary. Many times when an angel appears to someone in the Bible, the first words that angel said is, "Don't be afraid," okay? "Don't be afraid, fear not." So they're quite terrifying to see. Sometimes people say, "I'd love to see an angel." Well, when you read some of the stories in the Bible, I don't think you would. There was a man in the Old Testament who dropped down dead. There were angels that really didn't, that terrified people. So they were very powerful creatures. Sometimes they had wings when we see pictures of them. Sometimes they are on fire, literally. Sometimes they carry swords. Sometimes they're singing, sometimes they're flying, sometimes they're shouting, and other times they just come to meet with individuals. So they weren't altogether the friendly, well, they were friendly, but they didn't appear that way when they first showed up. And so what do we mean when we think of angels in a biblical sense? Well, the word angel simply means a messenger. That's all it means. And there's times in the Bible where on our English Bibles anyway, and the original, they just put the word angelos and then left the reader to figure out what I'm talking about, a messenger or I'm talking about an angel from heaven. So sometimes the word simply is just talking about a messenger. There, in the book of Acts, for example, Paul and Barnabas went to a city and people called them angelos, called them messengers, because they felt that they were gods who'd come down to bring a message from heaven. In the book of Revelation, it talks about how the churches in Revelation had a messenger who came to bring them a message. So that's really what they are. They're messengers. Normally, they're depicted with wings to bring this message quickly to us. Around the world, in various countries, police use mottos something like this. When we lived in Canada, this was the motto for the Ontario Police Force: to serve, protect, and defend our citizens. And I thought about that this week. I thought that's really a good summary of what angels are supposed to do. They've come to serve people, they've come to protect people, and they've come to defend people. Now, as I realize as I'm talking about angels this morning, you're thinking, oh, do we have to go on to all of this kind of heavenly stuff? I mean, can we not kind of bring heaven down to earth? I mean, for goodness sake, the Christmas story is about a poor couple who had to go on a journey and give birth to a baby in a stable. Why all this heavenly stuff about angels and messengers? I partly get that, and I understand one of the dangers we can do is to make the Christmas story so angelic, so mysterious, so amazing, so heavenly, that it's not practical. I get that. But there's another danger. We make it so practical, we lose the wonder. We lose the mystery. It's got to be all something that we can relate to. Well, why? Why does everything in life have to be something we can relate to? Why can there not be some things that we can't understand? Why can God not just say, no, I'm not going to explain this to you. I'm going to reveal it to you. And we just worship and we fall in wonder. I'm sure that many questions, shepherds, wise men, visitors, Herod, Joseph, Mary, when all of this happened. But many times they just wondered and they just bowed down. They worshiped God, were filled with mystery. And so this morning, I want you to enter into a wee bit more of that, okay? In one sense, let's not be trying to figure everything out today. Let's not try to make it all so practical that we can go away with that. But let's try and just imagine a world full of these creatures. After all, one of the most popular programs in TV at the moment is His Dark Materials by Pullman. The most popular fiction books in the world are full of imagination. So let's use our imagination today and imagine a world where these creatures made by God exist to serve us, protect us, and defend us. Many don't realize, but there's only three angels mentioned in the Bible by name. Two of them, we should know, Gabriel. This time of year, Gabriel is the messenger who comes from heaven to bring the message to Joseph and Mary. There's also an angel called Michael, who's mentioned in the book of Revelation and mentioned in the Old Testament. Normally, when Michael is mentioned, there's a battle going on, a war. The only other angel is the angel Lucifer, who is mentioned, and that's another name for Satan. In Catholic teaching, there's a couple of other angels who are mentioned very commonly, but those names are not in the Bible. So, what are angels? When we look at angels in the Bible, there is a lot of mystery, but we're told a little bit about them. We're told why they exist, to help us, defend us, and protect us. But there's a hierarchy. The angels don't exist just everyone equal. The angels exist in a hierarchy. There's powerful ones who exist around the throne of God to serve God. There's others who come to bring messages to us and to help us in our worship of God. And then there's kind of junior angels, if you want, lesser angels, who've got jobs to do too. How often are they mentioned? Are they frequent? Well, you judge for yourself. In the Old Testament, just over 100 times angels are mentioned. But look at the books that they're mentioned in. Almost all the other books in the Old Testament, a few times in Job, they're hardly mentioned. So they're mentioned in Genesis, beginning of the Bible. We're going to look at one of those. They're mentioned in Numbers when the people were going through the wilderness on the way to the promised land. They're mentioned in the most violent book in the Bible, the book of Judges. And they're mentioned at the end of the Old Testament when Zechariah starts getting visions of the future coming kingdom. What about the New Testament? Even more mentions. 182 times angels are mentioned in the New Testament. In the Gospels, they're mentioned a lot, especially at the beginning, around the birth of Jesus. And the Gospel of Luke is the one who mentions them the most. Luke was really into angels. In Acts, when the early church began, in Hebrews, and here we go, most mention in the whole Bible is the book of Revelation at the very end. So that gives you a little snapshot of what the Bible says about angels. But let's look at a couple of verses this morning. In the book of Hebrews, the author at the beginning describes angels. And he says it in two ways. He says this, God makes his angels like winds, servants with flames of fire. So the author is saying, when we think about angels, they're creatures that are made by God, and they have a special task to come like the wind, okay, to bring us a message normally very quickly. It's not that God talks to us through angels. We have to be very careful about this. There is a kind of, I don't know if it's as common now. Remember a number of years ago, a number of people were really into angels. There was lots of books written about angels, and people were like, you know, trying to talk to angels as Christians, trying to get an angel to talk to them. Instead of going to their Bibles, they were going to angels to get a message from angels, because they were thinking, well, if angels give us messages, should we not just talk to them? Well, no, they're not. Normally, when an angel comes, it's a special message from God that we don't just get by reading the Bible. It will certainly not contradict the Bible, but it's a special, normally a warning message or something that God is going to do that God almost needs to alert people to. So we have to be really careful about going and trying to talk to our personal angel to get messages from them. The Bible does not condone that at all. They are servants with flames of fire, not to terrify us, but because they've come from God's presence. And God's presence is a holy presence. And so the fire signifies their holiness, their purity, that they've come from God. And we can trust them in what they're going to say to us and do for us. The author goes on to say, angels are only ministering servants sent to help and care for those who will inherit salvation from God. So if you thought, just pause and think about that for a moment. If you're a Christian this morning, the Bible says that you and I will one day inherit salvation. It's there. No one can take it away from us. It's not that, you know, it may be taken. The Bible says in Peter, nothing can perish or spoil or fade about your inheritance. It's guaranteed. It's there. And God has given it to us. But we don't have it all. We have to wait for it. Okay? And as we wait for that inheritance one day, as we wait for our salvation to be complete, and we're in God's presence and our life is over, he says, in the meantime, God sends his angels to care for us. He sends angels to help us. I don't think I've ever seen one, although I'm going to make a verse later on. It's possible that I have. It's possible that you have and not recognize them, but we'll leave that one for the very, very end. But they're there. And there's many things in life we can't see. We can't see the wind often, but we see the effects. We can't see electricity, but we have lights that go on. There's many things we can't see, but we believe that they're real. And angels are one of those. Bit of a caution, though. And this is another reason why it can sometimes not be wise to get into angels too much. Because there's some bad ones. Okay, they're not all good. And in the book of Peter, Peter warns us about this. He says, God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but sent them to prison, putting them in chains of darkness to be held for the day of judgment. And even Satan himself, we says, masquerades as an angel of light. So we should be interested. We should recognize that they're sent, but there's also a lot of bad ones out there as well that are out to destroy people's lives and to harm people. Okay, so let's think this morning about the birth of Jesus. Paul says this to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3. He says, the mystery of godliness is great. Jesus appeared in the flesh and was seen by angels. Just imagine this morning, and I'm trying to get you to use your imagination, that you were an angel. Okay, I was thinking of maybe I was looking for something on the internet to read to. No, just use your imagination. I'm not going to try and do it for you. Just imagine you know that something special is going to happen, but you don't know what it is. And we know that because, again, Peter says in his letter, angels long to look into the things that you and I see, but they can't. They can't. Angels are restricted from understanding and seeing things that you and I get to see and get to experience. And so they're waiting. They're maybe chatting to one another. They know something special is going to happen. They know the prophets have written in the Bible that God is going to intervene, that God's going to send someone special, but they don't know what it's going to look like. They really don't know. We know now that God sent his son into the world as a baby, born at Christmas time, and we worship and remember that. But they didn't know that was going to happen. They didn't know how Jesus was going to come. They didn't know about Mary and Joseph and angels and shepherds and all the stuff that we take for granted. They didn't know any of those things. They were waiting to see what is going to happen. And then the day comes when God gives them words. God tells him, Gabriel, come. I've got a special message for you to take down to earth for me. I'm going to send you. I'm going to send you to Israel. I'm going to send you to a little town called Bethlehem. I'm going to send you there, and I'm going to ask you to bring a message to a young girl called Mary. I want you to go and tell this message to her. We'll mention that in a moment. And then other angels, and you lot, come here. Do you know what you're going to do? I want you to go first, and I want you to go down to a hillside outside Bethlehem, and there's a group of shepherds. They're going to be absolutely terrified when they see you. But I want you to go, and you've got a message for them. And you lot, come here. Yeah, okay, I know there's lots of you, but I want all of you to come. When he goes to bring this message, you get to go too, and you get to sing the most amazing song that's ever been sung. And I know they'll be terrified, but just keep on singing the song, because I want people to know what's going to happen when I send my son into this world, and my son is going to be born as a baby. Now, I've just, you know, again, use your imagination. What it must have been like for these angels to see it for the first time. What is God going to do? And to behold this whole scene. That's a rather curious picture taken from a Christmas card of angels. You maybe can't see it, but the one in the front is playing a violin, and the one in the back is playing a guitar, and the one on the left is singing. I don't quite think that's what they were doing when Mary was born. It was probably a much more terrifying scene. And so, let's think. What happened when Jesus was born? Well, as I've said, angels showed up everywhere. They showed up to Zechariah, John the Baptist's father. An angel appears to him. As we said, the angel Gabriel comes to Nazareth and speaks to a girl called Mary. We'll learn more about that next week. And then another angel appears and speaks to Joseph in a dream, and then comes back again and speaks to him in another dream. But this morning, I'd like us to turn to Luke chapter 2. And I would like us to see what happened when the angels came to announce the birth of Jesus to the shepherds on the hillsides. So Luke chapter 2. Going to read these verses. It says, that night, there were shepherds in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the glory of the Lord surrounded them. They were terrified. There you go, another example. But then the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people. Now, maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just a bit dim, okay? And I've only been a Christian probably for the last you know, 30 odd years of my life, but I never saw this before until I studied it this week. I thought that there were angels who came to the shepherds to give the message. Initially, there weren't. There was just one. Only one angel originally came to share the message with the shepherds. Eventually, more angels got to join in on it, but there was only one. An angel came of the Lord, appeared to them, and the radiance of the glory of the Lord surrounded them. This is a very, very special. This is the most important event in all of history. Way more important than anything else we can imagine. God entering into our world. God becoming flesh. The light entering the darkness. God coming to us to be one with us, to live with us, to breathe with us, to share love with us, ultimately to die for us and to give us the hope of eternal life. An angel of the Lord appeared among them. Now, I don't want to take any thunder away from next week, because next week we're going to think about the shepherds. So I'm not going to talk about shepherds today, in case I steal all the thunder for Stuart and the young people who are going to be sharing with us next week in our service. But I want you to notice the message that this angel brought. After he reassured them and calmed them down, he said two things. He says, I bring you good news. I've come to bring you some good news. And I don't know about you, but I think we need some good news. I am just fed up watching election debates. Maybe you're really into them, and I know there's another few coming up this week. I'm just so tired of hearing about all the stuff that's going wrong in our world. I want some good news. And even when we have the news that's coming, you know, everyone's saying, oh, just give us some hope. Can someone just say something positive rather than something negative? How much more? It seems every year when we come to Christmas, we say this. We always have issues in our world and we need some good news. And Christmas and the season of Advent is ultimately a season to bring good news to people. And we can be messengers. We can be people who do that. There's people living on the streets of our city who need some hope, who need some good news. There are people who can't feed their families, coming to food banks, who need some good news. There are people who are confused and without hope, and this has been a really bad year for them. There's a family in our church who've lost a loved one just in this past week. They need some good news. And I know that Ashley and Yvonne and Hamish and Katie hold on to the great good news, the best news of ever, that Millie, who trusted in Jesus, is safe in the presence of God today. That's great news. That is good news. And when we come on tomorrow to say farewell, they will hold on to that. The angel came to bring good news to people. And it wasn't just good news, but this news was going to bring great joy. That's what God wants for us. He wants our hearts to be full of joy. And we can know joy even in the midst of pain, even in the midst of a funeral service tomorrow, even in the midst of the things that we struggle with, and the aches and the hurts and the pains and the frustrations and the things and the regrets that we have. In the midst of all that, we can experience joy. God can give us that joy. And you know, the angels didn't take away all the problems, but they brought a message that was going to bring joy to all the people. And that's what God wants for us this season. After the first angel showed, then there were others. And he goes on to say this. The Savior, so he explains what the good news is. What is this good news going to entail? First of all, it's going to be about a Savior. God is going to intervene into our world to save us. He's going to change our world. He's going to change our lives. He's going to change us individually and corporately if we will cooperate and we will allow him to bring that into our lives. He will come as a Savior to save people. Even the Messiah, the Lord himself. So the one that the Jewish people were waiting for hundreds and hundreds of years, Messiah is going to come as Savior. But this one who's going to come is the Lord himself. So it's not just an angel. It's not just a messenger that God's going to send. He's going to come himself as Messiah and as Savior. Savior, Messiah, the Lord himself, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. You will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. I never cease to be amazed at the wonder of the Christmas story, how God shows up in unexpected places. And you know, we need to keep remembering that. Some of the times in our lives when we're looking for God and we're praying to God and we're wanting to find God in our lives and our circumstances, God shows up in unexpected places and unexpected ways. So often, Bible says it itself, that God's ways are not our ways. The way we expect God to show up, the things we expect God to do are not what he does. Never what he does. He shows up in ways that we're not expecting him to do and does things that we're not expecting him to do. And it was so true with the first story of Christmas. How was God going to show up? What was the sign that God had come to earth? A baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. That's God's way. That's the good news. That's the message the angels brought to the shepherds. And then, as if that wasn't enough, suddenly all the others who are waiting to get on the act, okay, waiting to burst forth in song, the angel was then joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those on whom his favor rests." So we draw this to close this morning. I just want to focus on those two phrases. What do angels exist for? What's their job? First of all, they exist to give glory to God. I have no idea, so don't ask me, why does God need angels? I don't know. Okay, I don't know. You figure that one out. But God has all of these hosts all around him. We see visions in the Old Testament. We see visions in Revelation of heaven. And when you see these heavenly visions, angels are everywhere, surrounding the throne of God, flying, singing, you know, dancing, rejoicing, whatever they do. They're everywhere. They exist to bring glory to God, to magnify God. They don't, as it were, have the light in themselves. They reflect God's light. And maybe angels exist because sometimes that's just the best way that God wants to communicate to us. You know, I remember one time in Canada I was preaching. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago about a guy who used to pray for me. And one time after I preached, he said, "Don, there were two angels in the building today." I said, "Where were they?" He said, "One of them was standing on your right and one of them was standing on your left." Now, I know as I say that, there's some sitting in the building going, "Really? Like, what did he have for breakfast? What was wrong with this guy? He saw two angels. I mean, come on, Don. He saw two angels in the building." I don't try to explain that anymore. I'm just really grateful, first of all, that that guy was praying for me and that they were there, not to harm me, but to help me and support me. So let's stop trying to figure out if they're here, if they're not, why some people can see them, why some people can't. The Bible says they're here, and they're here to give glory to God. When we fail to give glory to God, when we struggle, they help us. Do you know that? They actually help us to sing a bit better. They actually help us to follow God a little bit more closely. When we get discouraged, they actually give us strength and pick us up. When we are going to be attacked, they defend us so that we can keep on going. Maybe one day God will show us what it all looks like. You know, it's like, you know, these scenes that you can see them, but they can edit out certain people, you know, and you see it. And then they put all the people back in and you see the people as though you didn't see first. And maybe it'll be like that one day. I don't know. Maybe there'll be times, you know, in the future when God will say, "Okay, Don, do you remember that time when you were going there? Let me show you what was really going on. Okay, look at that scene in your life with angels edited in instead of edited out. Can you see what they were doing? Times when you were in danger, times when you were discouraged, times when you struggled to follow me and give me glory, they were giving me glory." That's what they exist for. But they don't just exist for that. they want us to know this message. It says they want us to know his favor and experience his peace. That's what God wants for you today. And every day, he wants you to know that he is for you. He's not against you. He wants to give you his favor. Favor to bring favor of God to people on earth. He wants you to live under his favor. That means we have to listen to him. That means we walk in his way. It means we don't go our own way. We don't turn away from him. We listen to his word. And if you listen to God's word and listen to his guidance and walk in his way, the Bible says you will live under his favor, not his wrath. You will live under his favor. And when we live under his favor, then you will know peace in your life. I think everybody wants peace. Our world longs for peace. We long for peace in our world. We long for peace in our hearts. We long for peace in our relationships. We desperately cry out to God for peace. But many times we don't want to walk under God's favor. We want God to give us peace, but we want to keep walking our own way and go down our own path. And God says, if you really want peace, then walk this way. Walk in the way of my favor. Walk under my guidance in your life, and you will have peace. And finally today, that verse I said I was going to put up. Are angels all around us? I think they are. Okay? But here's a verse from Hebrews, chapter 13. It says this, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Christina, I look at you this morning, and you're already prayed for these people living in the streets of Glasgow. Wonder one day maybe God will show you. You see that man that you helped that night, Christina, that you were really struggling, and he was really struggling? You went out of your way, and you did what you did for him? That was an angel. Now, we don't know that. You don't know that, and I don't know that. I can't prove that to you. But this says, when we show acts of kindness to people, there's times in life we're doing it, and it's not even a human being we're doing it to. When we serve people in our food bank, when you go out this week from our church to hopefully do some act of kindness, you could be serving one of these creatures, and you don't even know it. If that doesn't motivate you this week to go and do an act of kindness to someone who's struggling, I don't know what will. They're all around us to help us. But sometimes they come in disguise, and they're waiting to see what we will do to them. They're waiting to see how we will respond to them, to see what's in our hearts. Just come, Vicky, with the team as we close. I'm just going to pray. So, Lord, this morning, we've thought about angels. We've thought about mysterious creatures that we can't see, we can't touch, we can't talk to, we can't hear. But you tell us these creatures exist. And Lord, that's enough for us. You told us that they exist in heaven to give glory to you. You tell us that you send them to earth with special messages for us. You tell us that they serve us, they help us, they protect us. And above all, when Jesus came into this world, angels went crazy. They celebrated, they sang, and they came like nothing else that ever happened before. And one day you've told us that they'll come again, the end of all time. But in the meantime, Lord, help us to recognize your great love for us. Help us to remember that angels didn't just come to support Jesus, but they come to support us. Thank you for them. And help us this week as we leave and we go into a world that's struggling with all kinds of needs. Help us to be people like the angels who bring a message of peace and hope and comfort and support to other people. And as we serve other people this week, as we bring that hope to other people this week, maybe, just maybe, you will slip in an angel into the crowd and we won't even recognize them. So help us this week to be your messengers of peace in this broken world. In Jesus' name, amen.